You are going to listen to part of a podcast called The Business Podcats. The host, Bob Stanley, is talking to Sarah Cracknell, an expert in the psychology of negotiations. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, match the beginnings of the sentences 1 to 8 with the sentence endings A to K. There are two extra sentence endings that you should not use. Write your answers in the spaces provided. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers.
Welcome back to part two of this week's Business Podcats, and I'm delighted to welcome Sarah Cracknell to the pod, a consultant specialising in negotiations. Thanks for coming, Sarah.
No worries, Bob. Thanks for having me.
You've been following the British Museum and La Collection negotiations closely. As an expert in the psychology of negotiations, what can we learn from them about preparing for a session?
Well, one of the big mistakes that people often make is to think of negotiations as some kind of battle, that you have to beat your opponent in order to win. But most negotiations aren't like that. They are not a zero-sum game. And you shouldn't look at your counterparty as if they're some kind of enemy. For instance, the British Museum and La Collection were looking to create some kind of partnership.
Right.
So the first thing to do is to try to separate the people you are talking to from the issue you are trying to work through. Human beings are complicated and we have all sorts of emotional reactions that might not be very useful in a negotiation. If you have some personal problems with the other side, it's best to try and deal with them aside from the main issues, or to put them in a box and just focus on what's important.
That sounds easier said than done.
Well, of course, it is more difficult in practice, but experienced negotiators know to keep their eyes on the prize.
Understood. So, what else should we think about?
The next thing is to think about your interests and your counterparty's interests. The famous example of this was made by Fisher and Urey, and it's known as the orange situation. Two people are arguing over an orange, and they finally agree to split it down the middle and have half each. This seems fair, right? Then one of them goes home, eats the fruit, and throws away the peel. But the other one uses the peel to make a cake and throws away the fruit. If they had talked about their interests instead of arguing about who gets the most orange, they both could have got more of what they needed.
Oh, that's a nice demonstration of the point.
Yeah, I love that. Finally, you should try to come up with a range of options. Brainstorming is a useful idea here. Both sides should just come up with as many options as possible in a free and unpressured environment. This should lead to a mutually beneficial and perhaps even innovative way to solve the issue or finalise the negotiation. With the recent talks between the British Museum and La Collection, the sessions led to the creation of a brand new portal.
Great. But how do you decide if the solution is a good one? Are there any tips you can give?
Well, every negotiation is different, so it's hard to give any concrete, practical tips. But in general, it is a good idea to come up with some objective criteria against which to measure your solutions and agree on them before the negotiation begins.
That's excellent, Sarah. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us at Business Podcats.
Thanks for having me. It was fun to be here.
Welcome back to part two of this week's Business Podcasts, and I'm delighted to welcome Sarah Cracknell to the pod, a consultant specialising in negotiations. Thanks for coming, Sarah.
No worries, Bob. Thanks for having me.
You've been following the British Museum and La Collection negotiations closely. As an expert in the psychology of negotiations, what can we learn from them about preparing for a session?
Well, one of the big mistakes that people often make is to think of negotiations as some kind of battle, that you have to beat your opponent in order to win. But most negotiations aren't like that. They are not a zero-sum game. And you shouldn't look at your counterparty as if they're some kind of enemy. For instance, the British Museum and La Collection were looking to create some kind of partnership.
Right.
So the first thing to do is to try to separate the people you are talking to from the issue you are trying to work through. Human beings are complicated and we have all sorts of emotional reactions that might not be very useful in a negotiation. If you have some personal problems with the other side, it's best to try and deal with them aside from the main issues, or to put them in a box and just focus on what's important.
That sounds easier said than done.
Well, of course, it is more difficult in practice, but experienced negotiators know to keep their eyes on the prize.
Understood. So, what else should we think about?
The next thing is to think about your interests and your counterparty's interests. The famous example of this was made by Fisher and Urey, and it's known as the orange situation. Two people are arguing over an orange, and they finally agree to split it down the middle and have half each. This seems fair, right? Then one of them goes home, eats the fruit, and throws away the peel. But the other one uses the peel to make a cake and throws away the fruit. If they had talked about their interests instead of arguing about who gets the most orange, they both could have got more of what they needed.
Oh, that's a nice demonstration of the point.
Yeah, I love that. Finally, you should try to come up with a range of options. Brainstorming is a useful idea here. Both sides should just come up with as many options as possible in a free and unpressured environment. This should lead to a mutually beneficial and perhaps even innovative way to solve the issue or finalise the negotiation. With the recent talks between the British Museum and La Collection, the sessions led to the creation of a brand new portal.
Great. But how do you decide if the solution is a good one? Are there any tips you can give?
Well, every negotiation is different, so it's hard to give any concrete, practical tips. But in general, it is a good idea to come up with some objective criteria against which to measure your solutions and agree on them before the negotiation begins.
That's excellent, Sarah. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us at Business Podcasts.
Thanks for having me. It was fun to be here.